Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 11, Number 5. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was pre- and post-workout nutrition, what to eat prior to and after a workout. The CHI Prime Directive clearly states, we provide the body with optimum quantity sufficient to supply its genetically unique biological demand. No running on empty, no silly starvation diets, and absolutely no compromise when it comes to food quality. The best diet is one that conforms with biological specificity to each person's unique needs and requirements once identified. The diet should conform to the individual and not the other way around. Prior to working out, it's best to consume a shake or food with a relatively low glycemic index, and of course, eating smaller meals more frequently is ideal because they are metabolized more efficiently with less waste and require less energy to process. One final point, what we eat prior to exercise one time is less important than how we live and eat day in and day out. Our performance today is a reflection of everything we've done or didn't do in the past. Remember, sins of commission and sins of omission. Not doing the things we're supposed to do, doing things that we're not supposed to do. We're all a byproduct of how we live, eat, and train, and of course, all of our actions are controlled and regulated by thought. My topic on this edition of Clinical Review is recovery, which is also the theme of our upcoming conference and trade show, September 29th, 2012, in Coquitlam. For information on that, just get to our website and the homepage. We'll have a little button and a link. Just click conference. Recovery is a primary biological response and complex organic process that occurs after exposure to athletic training, exercise, and sport. In fact, complete recovery after stress of any kind, including physical, mental, emotional, financial, spiritual, or metaphysical, is essential to individual survival, optimum health, and personal wellness. All athletes, regardless of their particular sport, frequency of play, intensity of training, or demands of skill training and practice, must fully recover from the stress of physical activity. Adequate rest and sleep is absolute, but the body must also obtain the resources it needs from food to fully replete the energy and micronutrients expended during exercise. As the athlete engaged in sport and training knows, any tonic or natural remedy that enhances recovery after training is a valuable asset. Quick and efficient recovery means things are going well. Good recovery is one of the most reliable barometers for measuring someone's physical health and condition. Completing the trek up the mountain is admirable, but how well do you fare afterwards? Optimum sports nutrition includes many excellent dietary supplements and natural health products that enhance recovery, reduce inflammation, minimize risk of tissue infection, and improve functional wound healing. Creatine and ribose, for example, both help sustain and maintain the production of ATP, the body's primary energy currency. Without an ample supply of energy post-workout, recovery is prolonged. Until the body has completely recovered, no growth or further progress is possible. This is why recovery is so important. Recovery, therefore, is as important as the training itself. Now, there's another group of substances that contain adaptogens, and adaptogens are known to help athletes train harder, recover more quickly, and achieve maximum output with less biochemical disharmony. Classic examples of adaptogens include maca root, ginseng, astragalus, ashwagandha, cordyceps, rhodiola, and schizandra. I will mention here, to my delight, that Wayne Pedantry, CSNA master, wrote a great little book on adaptogens called Physiological Effects of Adaptogenic Herbs on Health, Stress, and Athletic Performance. His website is naturallysports.com, and you can purchase a copy of his book at amazon.com. Antioxidant nutrients such as vitamin C, E, zinc, and selenium taken before and after training also protect cell membranes, mitochondrion, and DNA from the scourge of uncontrolled free radical pathology. Less damage means faster recovery. That's the logic behind using antioxidants before and after training. Supplemental enzymes such as pancreatin, papain, bromelain, and protease help reduce pain and the formation of scar tissue, especially when combined with ICE therapy. BCAAs, also known as branched-chain amino acids, can extend training performance and reduce the depletion of potassium and glycogen. Glycogen, or human starch, is stored in the liver and skeletal muscles and functions as an immediate energy source for muscle cells. Quick restoration of depleted glycogen after training is crucial to speedy recovery. The entire process of growth and muscle remodeling depends on it. Let's talk a little bit about sports injuries. Sports injuries include a wide variety of soft tissue, skeletal, and joint-related injuries associated with physical exercise, sporting events, and various athletic activities. These are commonly described as strains, sprains, dislocations, fractures, lacerations, cuts, abrasions, blisters, bruising, inflammation, hernia, and pain. More than 20% of all reported accidents are sports-related. Outside of direct impact injuries, additional symptoms may include delayed onset muscle soreness, also known as DOMS, D-O-M-S, muscle cramps or stitches, exercise-induced asthma, upper respiratory tract infection, compromised immune function, and increased susceptibility to different cancers, cataracts, and even premature aging. So training in and of itself is incomplete. You need optimum nutrition. We need adequate hydration. And without adequate hydration and optimum nutrition, training, especially intense training that a lot of athletes participate in, can actually cause damage and age the body faster than not training at all. So nutrition is the key combined with the training. The two go hand in hand. Now, the degree of impairment and microcellular damage caused by sport-related activity depends on the athlete's state of health and physical condition. Other variables include training frequency, training intensity, quality of diet, hydration status, and sport specificity. For example, football is obviously a lot more rough than, say, playing golf. But then golf has a specific set of variables that equates to certain types of injury potential. Like a lot of golfers have problems with their shoulders or lower back. Humans possess a high degree of adaptability provided they are well and conditioned, but only within specific and limited physio-biochemical parameters. Personal boundaries of individual stress tolerance are determined principally by genetics, environment, and mental toughness. They vary from one person to the next, but the real trick is to understand the limits of your own body. The wise and experienced athlete makes every attempt to protect his temple, his body, from unnecessary harm and depletion. There are only two rules. One, do no harm. Two, stay out of harm's way. Pretty straightforward. Two rules. With these two rules in mind, it's impossible for the moral man to compete in any sport that tolerates or perpetuates physical violence. Imagine if your two rules were do no harm and stay out of harm's way. How could you possibly participate in a sport that was violent? You couldn't do it. Besides, violent behavior in sport is synonymous with primitive emotion and unresolved anger. So the people that thrive in a violent, brutal sport obviously have a lot of work to do on themselves. Now, response to stress, thinking of stress management, as defined by Canadian physiologist Hans Selye, is a built-in mechanism designed to protect us from damage. Selye defined human reaction to any form of stress as a general adaptation syndrome, or GAS, G-A-S, and proposed that GAS consisted of three stages of progression, including the following: 1, alarm phase; 2, adaptation phase; and 3, exhaustion phase. Diseases and injury mainly appear in the exhaustion phase when, due to depletion and lowered resistance, the body loses the ability to manage the effects of stress. Physically active individuals engaged in sport and constant training are frequently subjected to the risk of injury, be it in the gym, on the ice, on the field, or in the pool. Although prevention is always the best medicine, accidents seem inevitable, and in certain sports where physical contact is part of the game, such as rugby, boxing, wrestling, lacrosse, football, and hockey, injury caused by collision and direct impact is common. In other sports, such as the discus, hammer, or javelin throw, or tennis and baseball, for example, the elbow and shoulder joints are frequently injured due to excessive repetition and overuse. Cumulative microtrauma weakens collagen cross-linking and predisposes the non-collagenous matrix and vascular elements of tendons to affliction. When a tendon has been strained repeatedly to more than 4% of its original length, it is unable to endure any further tension, and injury will occur with a break in collagen structure. Common sports injuries are best treated quickly and biologically. Constant pushing against the body's inherent healing grain makes the body more susceptible to chronic injury, illness, and infection. This typically occurs when sports injuries are ignored, incorrectly diagnosed, or treated with drugs without consideration to cause. The best healing method I know is biological. Nature's cure. Think of it. With all of its research, technology, notoriety, and apparent sophistication, the best advice conventional medicine can offer today for treating most acute sports injuries hasn't changed in 1,000 years. ICE, ICE. That's as simple as it gets, that's as technical as it gets, and that's as efficient as it gets. ICE is still one of the best therapies known for sports injuries to reduce pain and swelling. Now, how technical is that, and who owns the patent? Well, nature does, and that's why nobody can control ICE. Imagine if you had the patent on ICE and everyone that used it had to pay you a percentage. To improve recovery of the entire system day in and day out, consume whole, natural, real food. Choose a diet compatible with your genome. Supply your biological demand. Eat a mixed alkaline-forming diet that is high in potential energy, one that provides a multitude of diverse bioactive micronutrients. Natural whole food is incompatible with the initiation and propagation of disease. Where there is light, there is no darkness. Avoid the chronic overuse of NSAIDs and pharmaceutical drugs. Used long-term, they destroy everything and everyone and foster the menace of chemical dependency. Big Pharma isn't interested in natural healing or complete restoration of the mind and body. If everyone was well and educated in the art and science of natural medicine, they wouldn't exist, and their remedies certainly wouldn't either. Now, let's finish off here with a focus on shake and take, because I think that as prevention goes, shake and take is about preventing depletion. It's about preparing yourself for what's coming, and it's about following through with repletion. So once again, we're focused on the protein shake. Don't run on empty. Make a protein shake before and after training. Turn this into a religious experience. Do it as a habit for the rest of your life. Become one with your blender. Use filtered water as a base. Add 1 to 2 tablespoons of hemp, chia, flax, pumpkin, walnut, or a mixed blend of omega-3 rich seed oils. Liquid fish oils that contain EPA and DHA are also very, very good. Omega-3 fatty acids combine with the sulfur in non-denatured protein to form healing lipoproteins. It was German scientist Dr. Joanna Budwig who first discovered that these organic substances could heal a mountain of disease. The right oil and protein mixed together modifies the catabolic influence of elevated cortisol, reduces inflammation, and helps rebuild damaged filaments and active tissue. Add 1 to 2 scoops of your favorite protein supplement, preferably one that is isolated and high in biological value, or BV. Whey peptides are preferred in terms of BV, nitrogen retention, and benefits to the immune system. At home, we combine whey protein isolate with a plant-based protein blend derived from hemp, pea, savvy seed, and brown rice. Long live the spirit of eclecticism, meaning harvest and combine the riches you find, the treasures, the pearls, the gemstones, the diamonds. Look for those and discard everything else. Blend all the value you find in life into a paradigm that you call your philosophy, and then move forward and test it. Now, before turning the blender on, complete your shake matrix with a teaspoon of calcium ascorbate, creatine monohydrate, L-glutamine, D-ribose, and something green such as spirulina or chlorella. Add your favorite fresh or frozen organic fruit. Our favorites include papaya, pineapple, banana, and frozen berries, all loaded with antioxidants, high ORAC value. Shake and take. What we eat is a reflection of our consciousness. It represents who and what we are. Health is a mindset, and the body serves the mind. The tail should never wag the dog. So let's be who and what we are. Biological snowflakes, committed to reason, beings of light designed by nature to think and act rationally without fear. Health is far more than the absence of disease. It is the presence of function. Efficient recovery is the hallmark of excellent health. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Simon Tugwell, author of Human Immortality and the Redemption of Death. We must be content to grow slowly. Most of us will still barely be at the beginning of our recovery by the time we die. But that is better than killing ourselves, pretending to be healthy.